We're going back in time this morning on The Conversation to the early days of retail stores in Hawaii. The move from plantation stores to small, independently run businesses was a gradual one. Plantation stores offered credit, and they were easy to get to, very important in the days before workers could afford cars. But as times changed, there was a rise in the so-called cash-and-carry stores. This morning, thanks to our partners at the Center for Oral History at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, we're going to hear from several people who opened stores on Maui in the 1930s. Mei Itamura dropped out of school in Kaheka when her father died. She went to work pumping gas in the 1920s. She then got a job as a store clerk and then a bookkeeper at Maui Dry Goods. She eventually was put in charge of the liquor department. She opened her own liquor store in 1937 and says she was the first woman to get a liquor license in Hawaii. She started out renting a tiny space, but that was just the beginning.
Oh, that I rented one small space right in Lopaia. Then after a while, I opened another one on this side.
Two. Did you feel sure that you were going to make good and make good money in your own business?
When I started? Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't know because I heard this Maui Dry Goods main stockholder. He didn't want me to get the license because I'm a young girl and then nobody in Hawaii gets that license. And he said, I shouldn't get the license, see? Because I'm too young to run a store.
You're about 32 years old, yeah? Did you feel at that time that you were qualified?
Sure, I know what I'm doing. After I got the license, I didn't worry because I know I can run the store. That's the easy thing.
Were there other liquor stores in Lower Paia at that time when you started?
When I started, I don't think there was any except the Maui Dry Goods one. Mm. And then when the war came, there was a Japanese fellow that had a small liquor store, but he got closed down because he was alien, you see.
All the time during the war, the soldiers were allowed to buy liquor.
Yeah, but they didn't stay long though after that.
You said that they would clean you out of your stock.
Yeah, one day's time.
One day, how much gross would you make during the war?
I saw, I think the highest was 36,000.
In one day?
Yeah. Because cases by cases, you know.
So you said that you think you accomplished your goal in life.
Yeah.
So what was that goal?
Take good care of my own family, make them happy and help them. Put them through school as much as I can. At the same time, make some money, take care of myself. Because in this life, you have to be independent, you know. You don't want people to pass over you and, you know, oh, this old lady, we don't want to stay with her, but we have to take care of her and all that, you know. I think if you take care of yourself and know what you do in your life, you know, set one goal, then you'll get it somehow.
Mei Itamura, she got it done. The first woman in Hawaii to get a liquor license back in 1937 when she opened her own place, the Paia Liquor Store. Masakazu Shimoda was born on the plantation camp, camp number 6 in Pu'unene in 1911. His father founded Maui Shokai, one of the big five Japanese stores in Kahului. The clientele was mostly Filipino, kampong workers, who were paid only after their crops were harvested. Masakazu eventually took over operations of the store with his brothers, the business history that he knew well.
My father was the first to trust Filipino. See, we had Nihonjin Shokai, Onishi Shokai, then we had Ikeda, and then Paia Mercantile, Paia Nihonjin Shokai, they used to call it. That's five there, see? And with us, made six. So a lot of competition.
Five of you were all
in Kahului. Mm-hmm.
And you all sold the same type of merchandise?
Yeah, only we sold bicycles that were nobody sold. Then we sold RCA phonograph, which nobody sold. I think that's the only difference. Then we went into the Filipino business. We gave up Japanese, only a few handful of Japanese customers.
What did your father do to, you know, get the trust of the Filipino?
We had a good Filipino salesman. He's the one, not my father, the salesman. In those days, plantation had what you call a compound money. That's, you know, they take care of the field.
Every 2 years.
Yeah, they take care of the field by themselves. And then after harvest, if you have good tonnage, you make good money. Those people we have to carry. I know some of them we carry for about $900-$800 those days, you know.
So in 2 years' time, while they were waiting for their
gains, yeah, then we collected our money.
So sometimes the bill would be $800.
Oh, yeah. I remember for $800. They trusted that store so much, they put their life savings inside. Every payday put savings. So we had, just like the bank, passbook, keep the account, you know. That's why we could carry, you know, those people that every 2 years pay us. If not, we cannot carry. We had that extra cash to carry them along. You try to get a couple, maybe 50 people like that waiting for compound money, yeah? You can't pay the wholesaler in the end, you know.
Did the other stores like Ikeda and Kobayashi, did they do that kind of thing too?
Save money?
Yeah.
You mean people save? No, the Filipino, man. Japanese didn't have those savings accounts already. They would go to the bank, yeah? The newcomers, Filipinos. They would say, Maoshoka is safer than the bank. My father said, we had quite a sum of that Filipino money, you know, saved. But he said, not one they failed to pay back. He boasted, he said, we paid everybody, every cent.
Did you have many compound people not pay you?
No, most of them pay, compound people. They're about the most trustworthy, yeah? Because after all, you're carrying them for almost 2 years, yeah? Of course, if they're short of income, then you have to carry them for another 2 years. But if it wasn't for Filipino, I think maybe Maoshoka is gone already. Too much competition.
Masakazu Shimoto talking about the competition that would eventually be a factor when Maoshoka closed its doors in 1973. We're listening to some oral histories this morning of early shopkeepers in Hawaii from the 1930s and 1940s. George Guerrero was an immigrant to Hawaii. He was born in the Philippines in 1909 in Ilocos Norte and came to Hawaii at age 17. He started working in a shop as a live-in clerk at the Nagatani store, then worked in a plantation store before opening up his own shop in 1946, running it for 24 years before he closed it in 1970.
When did you first think about working in a store?
I was encouraged by my friend who was working in the store. That changed my mind that I had to go, that I go and work in the store. And then he was explaining to me that you stay in the shade, the only thing you do is carry 100 pound rice, 100 pound of feed, you know. So he told me, I don't mind because I can do that. I stay in the shade. And he told me, rain or shine, you can work because you stay inside the store. That's why that encouraged me to go work.
What was the name of the store that you worked in?
That was Nagatani store in Waikapu, Wailuku.
Did you continue to live in the Punini camp while you worked in the store?
No, they had a house for me. They gave me the house where I was staying. I did not pay anything on my board. See, because I worked, I just stay in that house. And then go eat in the store. They give me free food.
What made you decide to, you know, start your own business?
Well, at that time I was working in the plantation store. I know the prices of the wholesale, and I know the percentage of retail. So I was thinking, if I go make my store and I can sell so much, I know I can make it. Because I had been working hard in the plantation store. If I work hard the same way as I do, I should say, then I know I can make it. That's why it makes my mind that I try my luck to make my own business.
At that time, had a lot of plantation stores and then had a lot of Japanese-run stores. Yeah. What made you Do you think that you could get your percentage of customers?
Well, at the time I know, because I told them that I could get plenty of them, because I told them the price that we sell in the store will be the same price I will sell you. You can compare, and if you don't want, well, it's up to you, but I greatly appreciate if you will patronize on me. So that'll, if the same price, no problem, we buy from you. So at that time, I have all different nationality. I have Filipinos, I have Japanese, I have Chinese, Hawaiian, all kind of ethnic.
All the way up until 1970, you
were there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever want your sons or daughters to continue the store?
I tried to convince them that one of them should carry over, but they said the hours that they're putting in there, they said it's too long, so they want to work only 8 hours and go home, and that's all.
George Guerrero, clearly not a man of 8-hour days. Neither was Sidney Kosasa. He was the person behind the ABC stores. This story is not from the plantations, and it's not from the 1930s either, but it's from urban Honolulu, and a bit later. Sidney Kosasa was born in the Palolo Valley, where his Japanese parents ran a grocery store. He worked there growing up, went on to study and work as a pharmacist, going to St. Louis in 1943, returning to Hawaii the following year to work at a local drugstore chain. In 1949, he opened Kaimuki Pharmacy on Wailea and eventually owned 8 drugstores on the island. In 1965, he went to a chain drugstore meeting in Florida and saw firsthand the business that convenience stores were doing with tourists. He came back to Honolulu and opened the first ABC store in Waikiki. By 1975, he had 7 of them. 10 years later, he had 27. When this interview was done with Sidney Kosasa in 2001, there were 60 ABC stores. He said the seeds of his future success were planted by his mother when he was still going to high school and working in the family grocery store.
And my mother is always kind of, she's a good businesswoman, see? So she says, you know, because there was Stewart Pharmacy and Hollister Drugstore on the Wailea Avenue, she says, hey, they make more money than then the grocery store, see, so why don't you take a pharmacy and open up a drugstore, see? So that's how she gave me that idea, see? So.
And how did you feel about that idea?
I thought that was pretty good because I grew up in a grocery store, so know the business, see? So I said, well, working in a drugstore, all I do is take a pharmacy, you know, and get a pharmacy license, you could open a drugstore, you know. So then I kind of made up my mind that eventually I'll open up a drugstore, see.
How did you get the idea to start ABC?
When I went to this chain drug meeting in Miami. At that time, way back 1965, see, the big hotels were all in Miami. It was a little kind of a shopping mall in Miami, see. And yet, we noticed that, see, all the people, you know, all around there, they were going to the shopping area to go shop, see. So we figured, see, Waikiki, one of these days, going to have a lot of hotels around, and then, you know, we'll be able to look around for locations, so we'll anchor ourselves with our shops around there. And that's how we got started on it. So when we came back, she and I, we started looking all around Waikiki. There was hardly anybody around Waikiki. Only Hale Kulani was one of the Royal Hawaiian Hotel and Moana Hotel. That was the only hotel there. I figured, gee, how am I going to be one of these days like Miami? So when we start out with Health and Beauty, so that's why they say, ABC Discount Drugstore first. So the same thing counts as the drugstore too, you know, ABC Drugstore, you know. Since we carry a lot of drugs and
cosmetics and, of course, we carry groceries and fast food. Now we carry everything.
How did you come up with the name ABC?
Tourists that come from the mainland, from Japan, they cannot remember the Hawaiian name or anything. So why don't we pick up an easy name so that anybody can remember? So that's how we pick up ABC.
ABC founder Sidney Kosasa and the story of the naming of the ABC stores. Why do I think that's going to wind up as a backyard quiz someday? If you have a story about stores in Hawaii, any thoughts about what you just heard, you can give a call to our talkback line. Leave us a message. Number to call there, 808-792-8217. Our thanks, as always, to the Center for Oral History at the University of Hawaii, and mahalo nui to Daviana McGregor, Lurleen McGregor, and Micah Mizukami for all their work on this project and all our other collaborations.